Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we were talking so much about forgiveness, and before we go ahead to the readings for today, just wanted to share with you, first of all, a prayer, and then something by Thomas Aquinas, both on forgiveness of others. The prayer, "You know, O Lord, how hard we find it to forgive those who have offended us. Yet you ask us to forgive without restrictions. Make us capable, Lord, of the love you ask for us, for alone we cannot do what you have asked." Let me repeat that. "You know, O Lord, how hard we find to forgive those who have offended us. Yet you ask us to forgive without restrictions. Make us capable, Lord, of the love you ask of us, for alone we cannot do what you have asked." It's not in the human frame to really be able to forgive and let go. It's the action of God. And it's our willingness to rely on God to give us the grace to genuinely forgive, which means we don't just say the words, we cancel the debt. It's hard, but it is what God has asked of us. Thomas Aquinas says this: "Our Lord wishes that his disciples shall imitate his example. He says, therefore, if I, who am the greater, being your master and Lord, have washed your feet, you also, all the more who are less, who are disciples, even slaves, ought to wash one another's feet. Whoever will be the greater among you, let him be your minister. Even if the Son of Man is not come to be ministered unto, but to minister." St. Augustine says that every man ought to wash the feet of his fellows, either actually or in spirit. That's everybody, no exclusion. And it is by far the best and true beyond all controversy that we should do it actually, lest Christians scorn to do what Christ did. Christ washed the feet of his apostles. Are we saying that that's beneath us? That our Lord and Master did it, and now we're saying, no, that's beneath me, forgiving someone who has hurt us? Aquinas says, "For when a man bends his body to the feet of a brother, human feeling is stirred up in his very heart, or if it be there already, it is strengthened. If we cannot actually wash his feet, at least we can do it in spirit. The washing of the feet signifies the washing away of stains. You, therefore, wash the feet of your brother, when as far as lies in your power, you wash away his stains. And this you may do by forgiving the offenses he has done to you." This is a way of washing feet, forgiving one another. "If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so do you also." That's washing feet, is forgiving those who have hurt us. Much more to be said about that, but clearly read my booklets. I think it's going to be very helpful to you. Today, we look at the passage from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, and then verses 5 to 9. "Moses spoke to the people and said, 'Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Therefore, I teach you the statutes and decrees as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land you are entering to occupy. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise an intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today? However, take care and be earnestly on your guard not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live, but teach them to your children and to your children's children." How often do you just look down the list of the Ten Commandments? Do you have them memorized? You should. How often do you read about one of the commandments in the catechism? Do you teach the commandments to your children? How can our children grow up in the ways of the Lord if they don't know what the Lord has asked of us? And the reason the Lord has asked these things of us is not to deprive us, but to bring us into union with Him. That's the purpose of the commandments. It's not so that we obey, and I've said this before, all these rules. God is giving us the way that will bring us into union with Him if we live by the standards of the commandments. Are you passing them on to your children and your grandchildren? Psalm 147, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. He sends forth His command to the earth. Swiftly runs His word. He spreads snow like wool, frosty strews like ashes. He proclaimed His word to Jacob, His statutes and His ordinances to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. His ordinances He has not made known to them. Brothers and sisters, God has given us the path to heaven. And most people, if you ask them to recite the Ten Commandments, couldn't do it. How can we possibly live them and draw close to God if we don't even know what they are? Take time during this Lent. Read the Ten Commandments. Read sections of the commandments in the Catechism. Read. What God is doing is helping us to conform our lives to be more and more like His. Ultimately, what He wants is union with us and for Him to be seen through us to others. Don't waste a moment on this, brothers and sisters, not a moment. Matthew 5, verses 17 to 19. Jesus said to His disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments," notice this, "Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter nor the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law." In other words, we can't rewrite the commandments to fit us. We've got to do what God asked of us. "Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Greatest. To obey the law is not to be rigid. To obey the law is to set us free. See, God's ways are paradox to our human way of understanding. We've got to draw very near to Him so that we see things more and more from His perspective. "I am the Lord God, you shall not have strange gods before me." Do you? Second, "You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain." Do you use the Lord's name lightly? Don't. Third, "Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day." Do you? Do you? Mass, prayer, time with family, taking time to ask yourselves, "This past week, have I drawn closer to God?" Have fun with your family. Have fun with relatives and friends where that's possible. Make it a day of rest for body and for spirit. Fourth, honor your father and mother. Do you? The fifth commandment, "You shall not kill." The sixth commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." The seventh commandment, "You shall not steal." The eighth, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." The ninth commandment, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." And the tenth commandment, "You shall not covet your neighbor's goods." Brothers and sisters, it's simple, it's hard. We fall short, but this is what God is asking of us. And God empowers us to put these things in right order in our lives. He makes it possible for us to obey him. He imparts the grace. Please take a look at these areas in your own life. Go back and look at them. Are you living by them? Is your life being formed by them? Is your life being shaped by them? Are those your standards? They're not, as I said earlier, it's not a report card mentality. That's not what I'm after. That's not what God is after. God is saying, if you take on these priorities and you live by these standards and repent when you fail, and we will need to repent, but if you have your life guided and are geared in that direction, you're going to know the presence of God in your own life, and you're going to begin to see fruit being born. Really. Please don't take this lightly. Please. Offer yourself to God. Ask God to use you for his kingdom. That gospel passage in Matthew chapter 5 again says, therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches, obeys first. You can teach. A lot of us can teach, but we obey first. That's what God did. That's what he told us. He who obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Because his words are spirit and life. His words give everlasting life. Everlasting life. That's the power of his word to change us, to reorder us, to shape us, to give us a new outlook, to give us a new mentality. During this Lent, take a look at the Ten Commandments and ask yourself, where am I falling short? And then take one area for this next period of Lent, in Lent, these next few weeks, take one of those areas and begin to see what you need to do to change. That's one way of going through it. Perhaps you've got a lot of unforgiveness in your life and you need to really look at that. What is there in my life that needs to change? Where do I need to forgive? Brothers and sisters, the Lord has so much for us, so much that he desires to give us. But it does require of us a willingness to obey him, a willingness to assume his priorities over our own, and to do it very directly and directly. Lord, I choose your way over my own. I choose your set of priorities over my own. I guarantee you, as you do that, you will become happier and happier. Because in a certain way, God himself will be more revealed in your life, in you, and through you. When God finds that you have taken on his mind, his values, his priorities, and by the power of the Holy Spirit really seek to live them, you're going to know his nearness in a way that you never have before. May God lead you and bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.